Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service, coming to you live from our studios in central London. I'm Julian Marshall. Still to come in the programme, 4 months after the explosion that rocked the Lebanese capital Beirut, we'll return to the port with the owner of Lebanon's only cruise ship, which was docked there.
People used to stand here and they would be waving to us when they enter the port. It's totally different than seeing her on pictures or videos. It looks way worse.
That report in full later in this edition of NewsHour, but we begin today with Ethiopia and some rare eyewitness testimony from a conflict that's been largely hidden from the world's view. Communications with Ethiopia's northern Tigray province have been cut and access restricted ever since the Ethiopian government launched a military offensive there on November the 4th against dissident politicians of the ruling TPLF. Government forces captured the Tigrayan capital, Mekelle, a week ago and declared operations over, but reports persist of continued fighting. That's what residents of Mekelle have been telling the BBC, as well as the United Nations, which says it's hampering efforts to deliver much-needed aid despite a recent agreement with the government. Tigray is also a refuge for thousands of civilians from neighbouring Eritrea, and a spokesperson for the UN Refugee Agency, Babar Baloch, says the plight of many civilians displaced by the conflict remains difficult to ascertain.
We continue to receive disturbing reports regarding the Eritrean refugee camps in the region, which remain incommunicado. The details of damages and disruptions remain unknown until we are able to reach them and verify the information. Fears are that many Eritrean refugees may have already fled the camp in search of safety.
Well, nearly 50,000 refugees from the fighting in Tigray have also fled across the border to Sudan. Among them is Dr. Tewedros Tefera. He's a medical doctor and general surgeon at the main hospital in the Tigrayan town of Humara, and was there when it was attacked by Ethiopian government forces on November the 8th.
The first attack was with this heavy shelling, which most of it were coming from the east side of the town, and there are also coming from the north side of the town. And when this shelling goes on, which targets every part of this town, we start receiving people wounded at different parts of their body, and also we received dead bodies. On day one, around 15 dead bodies we received, and around 75 wounded civilians we got. And this shelling continued the whole afternoon. And then the next day, it started early in the morning, and then it almost declined at about 11 a.m. And then we received more injured people, and also we got 8 bodies. And then we decided it was not safe for our patients and also for us. And then we say we must leave. And we had to take our wounded patients on a tractor lorry. And then we got into an area which is 30 kilometers away from Humara, where there were no shellings, but fighting is still going on in that area. And after 2 days, the fighting was intense, even coming close to the clinic where we were. And then we had to send our patients on a truck to other parts of Tigray where it was relatively safe then. And then we had to flee on our feet to the woods nearby this village.
Returning, though, to that shelling in Humara, you are saying civilian targets in the town were hit.
Every part of the town was hit, particularly the marketplaces, the church around the mosque, and also in the vicinities of the hospital compound. There was extensive shelling. And then we were receiving wounded patients from these different parts of the town.
Because the Ethiopian government has insisted that civilians were not targeted in the course of the military offensive in Tigray, and that no civilians were killed. But you say that's not the case.
I don't know which civilians is this government referring to, because These were the civilians that we were treating. There were women, older women, children, and even men, younger men, were also attacked, who actually were residents of this town, and then who were not completely unarmed civilians, completely unarmed. I'm not sure if this government is really referring to this public as its own citizen.
And you referred to the shelling coming from the east and also from the north
From the north, yes.
And this was all Ethiopian government forces, was it?
The north is actually only 200 meters from the border to Eritrea.
So are you saying that the shelling was coming from over the border in Eritrea?
Definitely, definitely. They were coming from Eritrean lands as well, and also they were coming from the east side of the town, where the Ethiopian National Defense Force were setting.
Now, you've told me that you then fled Humera to a nearby town. You sent your wounded patients to somewhere safer, and you then hid in the woods for a while.
Yes, for 2 days.
And then you made your way across the border into Sudan.
And then on the third day, we decided it was not safe anymore because there were more killings and then there were more chaos that was going on in the town. We were only actually about 250 meters away from the village. We could hear these people lying, flying. So then we say, no, this is not safe anymore. And then we said we should flee on our feet to the Sudanese border town, Hamdait, which was around 50 kilometers from where we were.
And this village where you heard all this fighting, what was its name?
Adabai was the name of that village, Adabai. A-D-E-B-A-Y, Adabai.
And do you know what happened in Humera after the shelling had stopped? Because, of course, you were no longer there, were you?
I was no longer there, but I was receiving wounded patients from Humera when I was in Adabai. On the first 2 days, we were getting patients, civilians, who were injured by blasts from this heavy shelling. But after the government troops arrived, we were receiving wounded patients with definite stick marks on their body, and then they identified exactly the way Fanos, which are the ununiformed men, and also they were describing them, the special forces of the Amhara, with uniforms and also with a badge on their chest.
So the Amhara are an ethnic group in militia who've been fighting alongside Ethiopian government forces, and they have a militia of their own, which I understand is called the Fanos. Is that right?
The Fanos. They always follow the steps of the government soldiers. First, they do the shelling, then the government forces would come in, and then after, the Fanos and the Amhara special forces would follow. This is exactly what has happened in different parts of Western Tigray.
And you are saying that in Humera, these Amhara militias attacked the civilian population. That's what they were telling you, the wounded who reached you.
Yes. And of course, when we were fleeing the town, the village that we were in, these typical men followed us. They were following civilians. They even followed us up to the riverside.
Tell me, were there any reports at all, or did you hear testimony from any patients of Eritrean forces being in Humera?
There are patients who I am treating right now at Hamdait who were actually attacked, their properties taken, and their houses burned by the Eritrean forces.
Dr. Tewodros Tefera is speaking to me from Sudan, and our Africa editor, Mary Harper, was listening to that interview. What does she make of the doctor's testimony?
Well, it was incredibly graphic, and what struck me about it was that even though it's very, very difficult to verify any account that's coming out of that region because of the communications shutdown and the lack of access for journalists, human rights workers and others, what he said, even though it was in more detail, was consistent with other accounts that I have received from people living in Mekele Colleagues from the BBC Horn of Africa service have also been speaking to people in the regional capital, Mekele, and other accounts of civilians being killed and injured, and of some of those injuries consistent with the kind of injuries you receive from shell fire, which is different from the kind of injury you receive from bullet wounds. So that would suggest that it probably is federal troops and their allied militias who have conducted some of these attacks and caused some of these deaths, even though the federal government in Addis Ababa continues to absolutely insist that not a single civilian has died in this conflict, at least from their side, which seems somehow rather improbable when you can collate all of these accounts that are coming, not just from the people of Tigray, but also from aid workers. United Nations and others have expressed concern that fighting is continuing in several parts of Tigray and that they cannot access people in need. They cannot get humanitarian aid into these areas.
And yet the Ethiopian government continues to insist that this is a war that it is winning and that it is rounding up members of the TPLF leadership.
Yes, that's it has been its line for days now. It's been saying that the war is over, that no civilian has been killed, and that essentially, like you say, they're just conducting kind of mopping up exercises, arresting or in fact killing the TPLF leadership. But then you hear from the TPLF who they say that the war is continuing, that they're continuing to fight on several fronts. So you have completely parallel realities being poured down at you, and so it's very difficult to work out what exactly is going on. But I think we can say quite clearly that this war is not over.
And very briefly, Mary, from Dr. Tewodros's testimony, and indeed the other reports that you have had, we have a Tigrayan population here that is not going to be very keen on the interim administration that the Ethiopian government in Addis Ababa is currently installing, briefly.
Yes, I think that's going to be terribly difficult for people to accept, partly because many people will feel on the same page as the TPLF, and also if they have been suffering injuries and casualties and deaths, it's going to be very difficult for them to accept, number one, this interim administration, also the fact that you have these Amhara militias who they say are actually beginning to seize their land.
That was our Africa editor, Mary Harper. You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is NewsHour.